Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
No matter how long any of us have been in business or relationships or even communities, sometimes multiple communities, the joy and success of those things is related to our personal best, what we put into it, what other people put into it. But sometimes there are things that keep us from bringing our best game for maximum impact. And so I'm going to be sharing a little bit about how I discovered what to do in a situation or out of a situation that was tremendously challenging. First of all, I began my business career, and I've been in business for over 50 years, at age 11. Yes, I invented the barter system with all of the kids in my apartment complex way back when, and it was awesome. Every week we would gather and trade a little trinket or something of value or maybe a penny for something else that someone had. And so my first rule of business was, if I have something of value, I can exchange it for something else that I want. And if somebody sees something that I have, I can negotiate for that. Now, it worked well for quite a while until one of the kids brought his dad's gold watch to the exchange, so we had to end it. But in that, I use that word value on purpose. If we don't know our own value, how do we become successful in impacting our businesses and our communities and our personal lives? But what if the value that we think we have has been muddled by circumstances or incidents in our lives? It makes it a little bit more difficult to move forward. And success is really about energy. It's about bringing the best, but how do you become the best? So let me share a story with you. I was very young, and yes, I started my business career very young, but before that, one of the reasons I did that was because it was safer to be outside than it was to be inside of my apartment. I'm one of the children that experienced familial trafficking from ages 6 months to 17 years, back in a time where they didn't discuss trafficking. They didn't even talk about child abuse. So my value was already destroyed before I even spoke. Yet, because God cares so much for each of his children, he brought me through difficult circumstances. The first time he showed me my value was on a curb of my house when I was 5 years old. The torment, the physical abuse, mental, emotional, the trafficking, all the things that went along with that were so intense that was my first attempt at suicide. I just wanted to be dead. I didn't feel I had any worth. I didn't think I could do anything in life, even at 5 years old. I thought, how can I continue when people that are supposed to love and respect me treat me like this? But God interceded. He met me there and he said, this is not the plan I have for you. Suicide is not the answer. And I had nothing else to believe in, so I trusted that voice. And I heard that resonance and I believed that somebody knew I was there for a reason. And I said, I will do whatever you call me to do if you keep me alive. And from there, while the road was still rocky, I had a huge speech impediment. I was told I was stupid and I would never be successful. And I had a lot of other things going against me, including being bullied at school. I was very tender-hearted and I had no confidence. And yet there was a burning desire to still make an impact, to still do something in life, if only I could get through all of the adversity and the disappointments and the pain. So as I continued in education, I would force myself into positions like debate team or to run for offices that nobody else was running for because I couldn't lose that way, right? And it helped me gain more confidence to speak, even though people laughed at me. So when I decided to go to college, I got free from my predators. I got into a place where I could see how other people lived, how other people experienced life in a way that I had never had. Some of it was terrifying, and some of it was like, wow, okay, there's a whole new world out there. And I knew I could be good at business. One of the things that I was very gifted with is the ability to read people very quickly. And that I'm sure came from my background. But at any rate, I had to figure out who I was in order to become the leader that I am now. And part of that came through a little discovery in my kitchen when I was single. I know that sounds strange, but bear with me. In one drawer, there was a box of foil, a box of wax paper, and a box of plastic wrap. I'm sure many of you have used those things at one time or another. But for whatever reason, on that particular day, I picked each of those up, and I noticed that the foil paper is very thick, and it's very hard to, well, in fact, you can't see through it. It just sort of reflects whatever it sees when you put it in front of your face. And it has a purpose. It keeps temperatures at a specific temperature, and it also covers things. It covers things up that you can't see. The wax paper, on the other hand, I took a sheet of that and I was looking through it, trying to see what I could see, and I could see shapes, but it was opaque and cloudy. You got a little bit of an idea of what was on the other side, but not exactly. Then, of course, the plastic wrap. I took a sheet of that and I put it up to my face and I looked through it and I thought, that's what I want to be. I want to, not plastic wrap, but I want to be transparent. I want to be able to see things clearly, have the wisdom to see things clearly, but also to be transparent, because I never want anyone to wonder or guess what my value is in my life. And through counseling and through a lot of work experiences, a lot of accolades that I don't really care about, I began getting confidence, and my transparency brought me into some great opportunities. And what I learned was, whether you're an employee, whether you're a startup, whether you're the CEO, no matter where you're at, maybe you're a community volunteer, maybe you have kids that you're homeschooling or taking care of, we can always bring our best game if we understand who we are first. I knew that I could do something in this world, and I decided to go for it no matter how hard it was. And I did end up having successes, but it came with a lot of pain and tribulation too. But the great thing is, God's promises never fail. He will never forsake us, but it is a trust thing. And trust for someone who comes from a bad background or an unfortunate situation is a really difficult thing. How can I trust that this person is who they are? How can I trust that, you know, my employer is going to give me a fair opportunity, you know, to advance? So those are all questions. But again, as we grow in ourselves, whether it's with therapy or whether it's with reading, whether it's through other people, learning from them, watching and saying, I like what that person does in their business. Or, hey, I like how the community is over here because the people seem really amazing. And I want to be part of that. I want to contribute. But along the way, we're going to have those disappointments. And part of bringing our best game is being able to say, I acknowledge my disappointment. I acknowledge that this didn't work out. Maybe I was the cause for the failure, but whatever we do with that is what makes the difference. So acknowledging the disappointment and turning it into a tool for progress and success, saying, all right, that didn't work out, but guess what? Now I know what I want to do better. Now I know an area of improvement for myself or my business or my relationship with someone. The other part of bringing our best game is making sure there aren't people that are in your fold that are sabotaging you. Sometimes it's easy to catch, sometimes it's not. You know, people might start out well-intentioned, but then you find out that maybe they weren't so well-intentioned. So clearing the deck in our life, it's okay to have acquaintances. Not everyone has to be your very best friend. I call my tribe LFFs, life friends forever, but they're also life business friends. They're life spiritual friends. So my tribe now, after many decades, is a solid group of people that edify me and build me up. They don't tear me down, but they're also honest enough to say, hey, you know, Andy, that idea you brought, maybe you should consider this, or that might not be the best path for you, or this is what I see, but it's your decision. So you want to make sure that the people closest to you that you need to rely on are the ones that will go to the mat for you, whether you want them to or not, and that you're willing to do the same for them. It sounds simple, but a lot of times as adults, we get things really complicated. One of the things I also learned as a control freak for a lot of my life because of how I was raised as a child is that I thought I had to be perfect. I can't mess up. I can't screw up. I can't not be smart. I can't do all these things. I had so many restrictions on what my value was. I knew I had it, but I had to equate it to I passed that test, or I did this for somebody, or my CEO says I'm the best. Whatever it was, I was looking for perfection. And preparation is actually the more important part, not perfection. As we prepare and as we practice, we maximize our potential. We maximize the impact we have because it's okay to be real. I mean, we are human after all. So it's okay to have that oops in your life and then acknowledge the oops and say, let me try this a different way. Or let me call my friend so and so and see what they think because they have a different kind of business, but they're not so close to mine and they might have a different perspective. So remember, preparation, not perfection. We want to also enjoy the path and the energy. When we move forward, live forward, work forward, love forward, give forward, there is nothing but energy and motion moving us forward. It's when we pull back or we stumble and we rethink our old patterns, looking in the rear view, as I call it. You can't change what's back there. The only thing you can do is have control over the moment that you're driving right now. So bringing your best game in this moment is what counts because you're not sure if you're going to have tomorrow. And if we do have tomorrow, then you have more another chance to bring your best game and impact your community. But for right now, let's say we have today. This moment is the moment that will decide how the rest of the day goes. You may have plans, and I have plans, and other people have plans. But then there's that thing that happens called life, and it gets messy. And sometimes our plans go completely out the window. But can we still bring our best game? Can we still bring our best self, whether we're grieving over the loss of a loved one, or perhaps we lost a job we really wanted, or we weren't even considered for the promotion, or perhaps, maybe we didn't get that community volunteer job that we wanted. But whatever it is, or maybe one of our children, especially in their teenagers, just saying, they snap at us, or they think that they know everything. Well, no matter what happens and what condition we're in, there is always the choice to live forward and move forward and use that energy that we've been practicing with, however many years we have been doing that. For me, over 50 years in business. For someone else, maybe it's 5 years in business. Maybe someone's still in college. We don't know. Or going back to school as an adult, like my husband did. But whatever that is, we bring our best by bringing our best heart, our best mind, our best soul, our best intentions, our best emotions, and then choosing to act on them, even in baby steps. We want to make sure that when we show up, everyone knows that they're ready. It doesn't matter what's happened to them 2 minutes before. They came, they showed up, we can count on them. The content of their character is such that they will never let someone down unless, there is some inexplicable situation that arises. And that happens. Emergencies happen. But when I think about impact, think about energy. Like when lightning strikes, it impacts the earth, right? It impacts a tree, sometimes a person, hopefully not too often, but it makes an impact because of that force. And our joy, our success, our motivation, our energy will always keep us in that lane of how can I do better? How can I get my personal best up a notch? But what all the practice does when we're not trying to be perfect is it also prepares us for those oopsies, for those things that show up and we know that they're going to jolt us, but we can still have our best face, our best heart, our best game going because we have a pattern now. We have a pattern of seeing things through. We have a pattern of saying, If I stay up too late, I know I'm not going to be ready for that board meeting in the morning. Or if I go out and party and, I'm not feeling my best, that doesn't give us an excuse not to show up ready to rock and roll. And those things are little decisions, but they make a big difference. So let's talk about a little bit more about community. Whatever community is to you, it could be family, it could be the actual community you live in, it could be a global community, an online community. But when we're there, all of us has to be there. Let me rephrase that. All of me has to be there. All of you has to be there. And when we're not feeling that way, something is going to suffer. And the one thing that we can do is remember that we always have value and worth. As long as we recognize that in ourselves, other people will recognize it in us. My confidence not just came from God's love, but that was the key. It came from practicing God's love for others. And when you give to others, when you pour into them, sometimes more than they probably want to be poured into, but when you want success for someone else as much as they do, then it's a win-win. And you build a platform that both of you or the entire community can celebrate because you're on the same page. There are a lot of reasons that I could stay in bed every day and say, I'm too tired. I don't want to do this. I don't have the energy. Besides my early childhood, as I put myself through law school and I worked in business and I worked for a lot of amazing Fortune 500 companies, became a corporate trainer, traveled internationally, did all these things, spoke to large audiences and helped adults learn, which is one of my favorite things because a lot of times as adults, we've had not great experiences in school. And we just don't want to learn unless there's a fun way to do it or there's a way to make it beneficial to me or to them. But I do love training adults. That was one of my biggest joys. But as I was progressing in my business career, I also wanted to contribute to community. I knew there were other kids that were like me that needed help, that didn't have anyone to intercede for them. And that call on my heart when I was 5 really started to manifest in my early 30s. And when I married my amazing husband, in my later 30s, we agreed that we wanted to do something for at-risk homeless teens and youth in our area. We had 17, 18-year-old girls having babies, but no place to live, living out of their cars. We had kids that were abandoned. We had youth that had run from even worse conditions than they thought would be on the streets. So we started a shelter program with a unique safe house plan, and we rescued over 300 plus at-risk homeless teens in our area. But during that process, my health wasn't so great, and I finally was diagnosed with a number of autoimmune issues, celiac disease, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is very impacting to joints and structure. But in addition to that, I had a couple of heart conditions, heart events that happened, small heart attacks, and a few other things. And I could have just stopped. I could have said, you know what? It's too tough. I don't want to do this. I could go get a Betty Crocker cookbook and be a homemaker. But that wasn't my heart. My calling was to go and make sure that the next child or the next person that was being hurt maybe had a chance. And in order to do that, I started practicing and practicing that every day. If I got up and I showed up, half the battle was won. And we taught that to the kids we rescued. Sometimes I have to drag myself through that battle, to be honest. But at the end of the day, I know that I brought the best game I could. And as long as I put everything I did have into it, then the benefit and the legacy would continue. I had a serious situation in 2013. I was trying to recruit corporate partners for our shelter, and then I found out that I had liver issues. They thought it was liver cancer, but it was really celiac-induced liver failure. And there were days where it took me half a day to just get dressed and to go out and talk to someone in the business community. But that one person oftentimes made the difference between whether I got funding, whether I had a corporate partner, whether my kids got clothes for interviews, got food, the things that they needed. And so Even though I was not looking my best, I still brought the best game I could. And God bless that. It's always the effort and the heart behind what you do that moves that mountain. From there, when COVID happened, they closed down shelters for kids in Oregon anyway. And so I decided, well, there's got to be another way to do this. But my organs were failing again at that time. And so I didn't have a lot of mojo to start up another physical nonprofit in a different way. But in the middle of the night, one of those God nudges, well, actually a lot of them because it took me a few nights to really listen, but I heard more voices, Andy. Go get more voices. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can do that. Not sure how yet, but I'm going to get up and bring my best game and I'm going to start making calls and figuring out what that means. And so within a day, we had the domain names, we had Voices Against Trafficking in the process of being trademarked. We had all these things going on because that energy of practice, the energy of showing up no matter what, in any condition, in my best form, whether it looked like it or not publicly, paid off. And now, all of these years later, the last 6 years with Voices Against Trafficking, we not only have been able to provide educational materials nationally and globally, we have us, we have people working in Mexico on the border. We have people in Uganda and Ivory Coast and Pakistan and one little part of Canada that's going to be growing soon. But we have lots of other countries that have said, hey, we want what you're doing. Can you help us? So that's what we're doing because God allowed me to be here, gave me that purpose, gave me that calling, and gave me the natural redheaded gumption that never say quit because I won't. We were able to do a lot of great things for kids and for survivors, and we're still continuing to do that no matter what happens. So don't think that just because, oh, I only do this doesn't matter. It absolutely matters. Whatever you do, if you bake cookies for a bake sale, that matters. But the big picture is when we get that energy, we bring our best game, whatever that looks like, however it looks like. It's not about money. It's about who you are, your worth, and your value. Please know that that is the most important thing, is to recognize you have complete value and worth in this life. And that confidence will make a lasting impact. So the people you know matter, but more important, you matter, because that's what will make every relationship, every business opportunity, and every part of the community more successful and more livable. For more, please contact me, Andy, A-N-D-I, at voicesagainsttrafficking.com, and please go and visit our website, voicesagainsttrafficking.com. Lots of information there, and hope you visit.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.